On this episode of the Millennial Weight Loss Podcast, we're talking about why you should not rely on the government to tell you the best ways to eat. I'm Pete Weintraub. I'm a permanent weight loss specialist, and you're watching or listening to the Millennial Weight Loss Podcast. Guys, so today is definitely the most controversial show we've done to date. It might be the most controversial show we've done for quite some time. So I want to preface everything I'm about to say. So again, I'm going to go over why you cannot believe what the government tells you if you're looking to eat healthier, not just to improve your health, but to lose weight simultaneously. This is not a huge political statement. Yes, I'm not a fan of big government. You've probably put that together two and two in just the last 30 seconds or however long it's been so far. But I'm not going to go over who the president is, what's going on at the White House, what's going on in international relations. I'm not going to go over any of that. This is not a political show. So I am not making a political statement. The only thing that I'm going to share with you on this show is that I am not for big government. I am not for government getting involved in what we should be eating. That is all I'm saying, and I'm going to get into why that is right now. So, if you're a millennial here in the United States, or even many parts of the world, a food pyramid was introduced to us 60 to 65 years ago. Obviously, our parents, even maybe some of our grandparents, saw this. And the food pyramid looks a little something like this, coming up on the screen here. The base of it, which means the most important part, consists of 6 to 11 servings per day of bread, cereal, rice, and pasta. These are all refined, processed carbohydrates. And in fact, I've gone over vaguely in different episodes leading up to this point that grains are completely devoid of nutritional value. I don't care if it's whole grain. I don't care if it's Wonder Bread. All of it is crap. There are so many healthy substitutes that have gotten out there these days. You can, instead of having grain-based pasta, you can have zucchini linguine, for example, or a squash-based spaghetti, things of that nature. And it's really easy to find healthy substitutes that don't take much, if any, time to prepare at all. In fact, most grocery stores now carry pre-spiralized or pre-cut pieces of vegetable-based pasta that tastes just as good, in my opinion. Doesn't taste the same, but it tastes just as good when mixed with a healthy marinara sauce, whatever sauce you're going with in that case. In terms of bread, there are many healthy breads on the market. Cauliflower is a great substitute for rice and even for pizza crust, as we're seeing today. So there's so many healthy examples of things that you don't want, that you can have and should have in place of grains. I implore you, if you want to learn more about why grains are bad, I'm not going to go over it too in depth in this video. I implore you to check out the YouTube channels, the Facebook pages, or even the books of Dr. David Perlmutter, who is the author of Grain Brain, and Dr. William Davis, who wrote Wheat Belly. I actually interviewed Dr. Davis. In fact, there's a card up above right here that shows you just exactly that. It was an interview I did with him last summer about his most recent book, Undoctored, which goes over essentially the same premise. Obviously, he doesn't believe the government should be involved, but he also doesn't like much of the medical establishment being involved in your health, not just nutritionally, but in many other facets as well. It's a great book. I highly recommend you check those out. I'm going to actually put links to all that in the description below if you're curious. Anyway, getting back. So, I don't believe that the government should be involved in what we should and shouldn't be eating in any way, shape, or form, to the better or to the detriment. Obviously, I believe that the food pyramid in some ways may have been created by some policymakers to help quell the rises in obesity, in type 2 diabetes, in heart disease that occurred starting after World War II here in the United States. And one of the researchers that was hired at the time to look into this was a man by the name of Ansel Keys. Now, he may sound vaguely familiar to you, and it probably does because he's the author of The Mediterranean Diet, and he's very big on eating a high-carbohydrate, moderate-protein, low-carb diet, and he was one of the prime people that pushed the food pyramid. He's popular for a 7-country study, and he highlights Japan and other parts of the world that have lower incidences of obesity, heart disease, and higher rates of people living to be centenarians. And in certain cultures and in certain parts of the world, that's certainly true. But for the vast majority of the human population, the demonization of dietary fat that he went through, despite even recently in a Minnesota former sanatorium, they found in the basement files from a study he was doing on sanatorium patients, because back then it wasn't considered unethical to test things on sanatorium patients, and they were testing a high fat versus a high carb diet, and they were finding that a higher fat diet had a lower chance of causing heart disease in the patients, and that there was a significant increase in heart disease among patients they introduced to his diet, high in refined processed carbohydrates and sugars, and in omega-6 rich fats like vegetable oils, which when heated to roast or to even fry things can hydrogenate and become trans fat. We went over that in a previous episode. We don't need to go into that now. So the food pyramid was introduced about 65 years ago here in the United States. That's what I learned growing up. That's what I'm sure many of you learned growing up, you know, from like fifth grade on, right? Any health class took in middle school or high school, and even when you went to college, if you had to take a nutrition class like I did, just as a prerequisite before you can get your diploma. So just about everything we've learned about nutrition is based on the food pyramid. Now today, I'm going to pull it up here. It's my plate. My plate, the only difference being between the two things is that my plate breaks it down into a plate instead of a pyramid. But grains still make up a pretty significant portion here on the right-hand corner, and they want dairy included in there as well. That's controversial. I don't honestly have much of an opinion on that at this time. But vegetables make up the vast majority of the plate, fruits and protein. You don't see really any dietary fat unless it's included in the protein or it's included in full fat dairy, which they don't recommend. They recommend you get a skim milk, which is devoid of any nutritional value. Anyway, so my plate, food pyramid, where you're prioritizing the wrong types of foods. We should instead focus on the quality of foods. But because of researchers like Ansel Keys, and also because lobbyists from the sugar, corn industries, and the grain industries were able to bribe members of Congress when the food pyramid was coming out to push cereals and breads and things like that as healthy fare, because, again, there was a semi-crisis. People wanted to figure out what was going on back then, why so many more people were dying of heart disease, why so many people were becoming overweight. And it turned out that a lot of it, and we know that today, and in very recent years, and it was even known as far back as the 1860s, there are medical textbooks, there's something called the Banting Diet that talks about reducing refined and processed carbohydrate consumption, instead upping your vegetable intake, minimizing fruits to the low glycemic ones, and eating plenty of protein and fat, and that in and of itself would help you to lower your weight. They reversed that because of these industry lobbyists. Money did exchange hands. There was a big Washington Post article that came out a year or two back, and they're still coming out to this day. There was a lot of corruption back then. Unlike today, where we have the internet, there's pretty much a paper trail leading back to everything if you look hard enough for it. That didn't exist back then. They were very good at keeping secrets. The media was in certain industries and politicians' pockets back then, even more so, believe it or not, than they are today. Today, it's just a lot easier to catch them in their lies. So you can't listen to the government because the dietary guidelines are based on faulty research by a man who was hell-bent on proving that dietary fat was the enemy in Ansel Keys, and by lobbyists who just wanted to push more product and not go under because, oh, what about the poor corn farmers and this and that? Yeah, sad, but if you're serving something to the public that is literally killing them, think that the public deserves to know if something's being sold to them that's harmful, and then at that point they can make their own decisions. So that's what I wanted to go over today. Now, there are certain things that you can do. So if you're wondering, well, shit, you know, I've been following that, I've been calorie counting, all this stuff, what should I do? Well, number one, I had a great episode last night. We did it yesterday because he's based in Australia, so his morning is my nighttime. And I had Tyson Brown on, an online personal trainer from Australia, and we talked about intermittent fasting. I highly recommend you go and you watch that. The card is up above. Basically, All that you do is you fast for most of the day, a minimum of 16 hours of fasting, followed up by an 8-hour window in which you can eat. And what that enables you to do, enables your body to go through a process of autophagy and cell regeneration, kind of like a detox on the body. The longer you can fast, the longer that happens. He in fact said that he did a 24-hour fast every weekend from 3 p.m. Saturday to 3 p.m. Sunday. You don't have to do that, but 16-8 tends to be like the minimum. You can obviously extend your fasting window and lower your feeding window. And he recommended that if you're going to be going out, having some drinks, or eating some crap, you just extend your fasting window, restrict your eating window, do all the damage that's going to be done, and then the next day you go for a more extended fast and you reintroduce healthy foods, and then you can get back to your 16-8 or whatever you're finding is working best for you. Secondarily, a great sentence about food quality was coined by Greg Glassman, the founder of CrossFit. Now, if you know anything about CrossFit, you know they subscribe to one of two nutritional philosophies. There's the paleo diet, or the caveman diet, which is exclusively focused on quality, and then there's the zone diet, which instead of counting calories or points or macros or anything like that, it breaks fat, protein, and carbs down into certain things called blocks. Then based on your height, weight, it's almost like calorie counting, it's just different. That's a pain in the ass, in my opinion. It may very well work well. I've never personally tried it, but it's very restrictive. I just recommend you memorize one sentence, and if you're able to implement that sentence into every nutritional decision you make, or 80 to 95% of all the nutritional decisions you make, you're going to be in very, very good shape from a dietary perspective. So that sentence is to eat meats, vegetables, nuts and seeds, some fruit, little starch, no sugar. I'll repeat, eat meats, vegetables, nuts and seeds, some fruit, little starch, and no sugar. Obviously, if you don't know what meat is, you're an idiot. You want to eat meat, grilled, baked, usually, maybe roasted, if it's not in an omega-6 rich oil, especially an omega-6 rich oil, which hydrogenates at a very low boiling point, then you're creating trans fat. All right, so meat, then vegetables, non-starchy vegetables, so lay off the potatoes, the corn, some beans, any sweet potatoes, yams, and you want to instead, the darker and the greener tends to be the better, just from that perspective, so keep that in mind. Meats, vegetables, nuts and seeds, so have these raw instead of salted. Salt, while I don't believe it leads to hypertension based on a lot of the scientific literature that's come out over the last decade or two, it does help you retain water, which when you're trying to cut weight, doesn't really help you with that. And then roasted, again, it can be roasted in vegetable oil, and there have been news articles and things coming out from the press over the last 5 years that have shown that just because they're trying to boil things or roast things at a certain temperature to keep it from hydrogenating into trans fat, that doesn't mean that it doesn't sometimes get above that point and the hydrogenation process still occurs. And there aren't great testing methods for even some of these big companies checking that. So you want raw nuts and seeds, preferably organic if you can do it, all right? Then some fruit, some fruit meaning low glycemic fruit. All you gotta do is Google glycemic index of an apple, a banana, a watermelon, whatever, and that's all you need to do. If it's 0 to 49, you're in the clear. If it's 50 or above, it's a little too sugary. Now, there's also something called the glycemic load, so if you're met with a lot of high glycemic index options, you check the glycemic load. If the glycemic load is anywhere from 0 to 10 on the glycemic index, then you're in the clear. So despite it having a lot of sugar, it's slow digesting sugar, which means it's not going to hit your system all at once. It's not going to stimulate the insulin resistance cycle. You'll be okay. If it's 10 or above, then it's going to hit you fast and hard, especially if it's also a low glycemic index thing. So that's fruit in a nutshell. Some fruit, little starch, half a cup or less. For whatever the reason, half a cup of starch tends to be the best way to go. So you can have half a cup of potatoes if you want, or corn, or some types of beans. That being said, you want to have non-grain-based starch. So avoid what the food pyramid showed you. You want to avoid processed, refined carbohydrates. If it's coming in a box, or in a bread bag, or whatever, then it's not real food. So lay off the breads, the pastas, the rices. Instead, if you're going to have the half a cup of starch, potatoes, corn, beans, stick with that instead. and no sugar really means no added sugar. There's obviously sugar in fruits and vegetables, even the good ones that I talked about you eating. But if you're able to limit your sugar to just coming from those real, whole, healthy sources, then you're going to be in much better shape. All right, and then lastly, I want to tell you about a couple of things that might be able to help you out. If you like to cook, I have a healthy recipe book. You can find that in the comments below. 72 recipes spanning breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, appetizers, and desserts. And they're all made from real whole ingredients. Everything tastes great. I've gotten a lot of great reviews from clients over the years. It'll really help you out. I got them from some great sources. And also, if you don't like to cook, no worries. There's a great food delivery service. Everything is pre-prepped, and it's very easy to warm, whether in the microwave or the oven, called Factor 75. I'm going to link down below. If you use the referral code that I put down below, you get $20 off your first order. I believe they send you a bunch of free meals in addition to the ones you actually want, so you can try them out. And they also have a cool algorithm, so as you rate the meals you got, whether thumbs up or thumbs down, and you can even, if there's a thumbs down, if there's something that you don't like for whatever the reason, you leave a comment. They're always trying to get better, so they'll take something out if it doesn't do well, and they'll listen to the feedback, and they'll tweak it, and then they'll reintroduce it. So I only ever had maybe one bad meal in 6 months from them. It wasn't even bad, it wasn't for me. So check it out, and you have the flexibility to do as little as 4 meals a week, or you can do 20 or 30 something, I don't know. So check that out as well if you want help with that. The reason that I'm not for government help is because the larger the government, typically the worse off they do in helping the people. Regardless of what side of the aisle you're on, they all want you to remain confused and dependent on them. That's how they make their money, that's how they can justify raising taxes on you, and that's how they dumb down the populace. You have to have personal responsibility for your health and for what you put into your mouth. I don't believe a government or anybody has the authority to tell you what you should and shouldn't put into your body. I'm just giving you the information that I learned in my 10 years in the industry through my personal 100-pound weight loss journey, my own research trial and error that I performed on myself. That's what I'm relaying to you. I'm not telling you what to do. You can either take what I tell you and run with it, or you can completely ignore it and go back to whatever the hell you were munching on and drinking before you started watching or listening to this. I don't care, but I'm just trying to help you out. And when they institute these nutritional guidelines and say, this is what we want you to eat, and further researching a lot of the foods that they push you to eat and push you to avoid, you're damaging your health. You're damaging your body. And I think the statistics are pretty clear. Since the food pyramid was introduced, since those nutritional guidelines were introduced, that obesity, type 2 diabetes, cancer, heart disease, all those things have skyrocketed. That's because more and more processed foods that fall within those guidelines are entering the marketplace. People think it's healthy because of a tidbit they heard on the radio, on the news, in a newspaper, or in a health or nutrition class, and it's just flat out wrong. You focus on the quality of your food. If you're able to let your body kind of repair itself through means of intermittent fasting, maybe even extended fast over a 24 to 72 hour period here and there, you're really going to help your body detox itself, regenerate healthy cells, and you'll dig into fat burning, especially when you're fueling it with the right healthy foods 80 to 90% of the time. I hope you guys found this helpful. So before we go, it's Thursday. That means it's mailbag day, and we have a great question today from Alvin. Alvin asks, why do we plateau? How do you get out of that stage? Okay, so Alvin, I personally know Alvin. He is a client of mine. He's one of my virtual clients, and in fact, I'm going to be releasing to you guys a way to work with me in the very near future. For now, just go to my website, weightlossbypete.com/services. You can see what programs I have to offer. If any of them sound good, set up a call, fill out my questionnaire so I understand your background, and we'll discuss the best program solution for you and your needs. But getting back, Alvin, so with a plateau, when people plateau, there tend to be one of maybe a handful of things that are off. So there's something that I teach my clients called the permanent weight loss pyramid. So the permanent weight loss pyramid is similar to the food pyramid. It's not just food. It prioritizes what you need to succeed in order to lose weight, not just short-term reaching your goals, but lose weight for good. So for starters, we have mindset on the bottom. You gotta be in this for the right reasons. If you're just doing this to meet girls, or to look good on the beach, or in a dress, or whatever the case may be, whether you're a guy or a gal, it ain't going to work long term. You can stick to anything, I believe, for up to a year, but it's not going to work long term unless you're doing this for the right reasons. If you really want to lose weight for good, if you want to set a good example, maybe you have kids, whatever the case may be, you got to be in it for the right reasons. You got to be sick and tired of being overweight, and you got to know in your mind you're not going back. So once you get to where you want to be, game over. You're not going back. You got to make lifestyle changes. Tyson and I talked about this regarding intermittent fasting yesterday. The same holds true with some of the other things I'm about to get into. So your nutrition has to be on point. In today's episode, we went over what that is. So go back if you have to and listen to that aspect of the conversation, because you can apply that to any nutritional situation you encounter. The more you stick to it, the better off you're going to be, not just from a weight perspective, but from a health perspective as well. Secondarily, moving up the physical rung after nutrition is sleep. So sleep, believe it or not, is more important to health and to weight loss than even exercising is. So if you're not sleeping well, I know a lot of us millennials, we like to binge watch Netflix, Hulu, we'll stay up late to watch sporting events if we're sports fans. We stay up late for a lot of different reasons. And yeah, sometimes it's good to blow off steam if you don't have to wake up the next day. It's whatever. But if you're consistently depriving yourself of sleep, even if it's just working late, and you're working really long hours, you're getting home really late, you're only getting 4 or 5 hours of sleep, and you gotta do it all over again the next day, that's not conducive to health. We need one of three different 90-minute intervals of sleep through the night in order to thrive. Some people do really well on six. 6 hours of sleep is the bare minimum you or anybody should be getting. And I'm talking like 6 hours of quality, deep sleep. Be in bed 6.5 hours before you want to wake up. So you give yourself half an hour to fall asleep. Be in a dark, cool, quiet room. Make sure your electronics aren't anywhere near your bed. Maybe have one of those old school alarm clocks or set your phone up as your alarm on the other side of the room so you're not as tempted to wake up and go. And obviously, put the damn thing on silent. Don't leave it on vibrate or ring. What's wrong with you? Notifications are going to go off all night long. There's so many apps now synced up with our phones. You're going to get alerts for the news and for sports and for weather and whatever it else is that you're interested in. And that's not going to do you any good. So put the phone on silent. Maybe use it as an alarm, but put it on the other side of the room at the very, very least, if not out of the room entirely, so you're not interested. Same with TVs, computers, or tablets. Leave them off. The blue light from all these devices keeps us awake. So you want a dark, cool, quiet room. Be in bed half an hour before. So 6 hours is the bare minimum. 7.5 tends to be where most people are. And there's some like myself who really, really need nine. So there are many nights that I prioritize sleep. There are some nights that I don't. And it's my choice. but I always aim for at least 7.5 hours. When I get less than that, I'm not functioning at my best. And also, some studies show that if you get less than a good night's rest any given night for your body, so you have to try these different intervals out and see which one works best for you. But if you're not getting consistent quality sleep, just one bad night of sleep, you wake up and your blood sugar levels are like you're pre-diabetic, which is nuts. That's just one bad night of sleep. So imagine you're doing that 5 days a week. Let's say you work Monday through Friday. So 5 days a week or whatever it is, you're getting less than the amount of sleep that you need. You're going to be pre-diabetic for most of the week. That obviously does not enable you to digest your food properly. You're going to crave shitty, sugary foods because you need instant energy. You need a pick-me-up. You want to alleviate that brain fog and the sluggishness that you're constantly feeling. You don't want to go down that road. So you got to prioritize sleep. So, Alvin, if you're a nutrition czar, then you got to focus on sleep. A lot of people make excuses, whether it's with work, maybe they have young kids. I get that. You're not always going to be able to get the ideal amount of sleep. But just like with nutrition, if you're able to do it a vast majority of the time, you're going to be in good shape. Then we get to exercise. So exercise can help rev your metabolism. So in conjunction with getting good sleep and eating well, 80 to 90% of the time, that's going to help expedite the process. That can help push you over the hump. You might need to intensify your workouts, or if they're already intense, but you're only getting a few in a week, you're going to have to find the time to get in more. A lot of people say they don't have time, and yeah, a lot of us now, we really condense our waking schedule so that there's not a lot of time. You're going to have to prioritize your health over everything else. That includes significant others, kids sometimes. You got to put yourself first. And it's just like being on an airplane, right? When the flight attendants are going through the in-flight procedures in the event of an incident and we lose cabin pressure, those oxygen masks come down. Always help yourself first before you help the elderly person or the small child next to you. Because if you help them and then there's no oxygen and you pass out because you used all the oxygen you had in your tank to help them, doesn't really do you any good. Put yourself first. Always, all right? Then there's a couple of things. So if you're doing all those things correctly and you're still plateaued, Alvin, then there's a few things that you're going to have to get blood tests, unfortunately, to look into. But it's good to know this stuff. So one, get a food allergy test. I've been very transparent that on my weight loss journey, I did lose the 70 pounds that I gained in college, but I was dealing with stomach issues. Like, it was embarrassing. When I started my business, it was like a general in-person personal training business where I traveled to my clients' homes or I met them at an office or a park or wherever. And there were times where I had to run to the bathroom, literally run to the bathroom because I was going to get the runs. Like, I felt it coming on. I knew I had 20 or 30 seconds tops before it was coming, and I'd have to excuse myself. It was embarrassing. It was unprofessional. Fortunately, somebody told me that I needed to get a food allergy test. So I had one done, and it turns out that I am deathly allergic to the whey protein found in cow milk and in goat milk as well, as I believe, and casein protein found in cow milk, way more so than casein, but casein I had more than a moderate allergy to as well. So I had to cut dairy out. When I cut dairy out, I dropped 30 pounds in 2 months. I didn't even try to drop weight. I was already eating well. I knew everything else that I did now. I just did what was best for me. So if you're feeling bloated and gassy, you're having digestive issues like I did, you might, and you're doing everything right nutritionally, sleep-wise, and exercise-wise, then you're going to have to get a food allergy test and make sure everything's all right. If that checks out, and all those things line up still, then you may have a hormone deficiency, in which case there's a great book by a guy named Dr. Eric Berg. He's a very popular guy here on YouTube, on Facebook, and everything. He's got a bunch of courses and ebooks and things, and he's got a book called 7 Keys to Burning Fat or something like that. I'm going to put a link in the description below, but he talks about that. There are four body types, you know, one of which solely affects women. It's an ovary type. Obviously, if you're not a biological woman, you do not have ovaries, and therefore you will not suffer from that. But there are three other body types as well that relate to both men and women, and it's important that we know how to deal with that. He has specific meal plans designed to help people who have those issues. At that point, I would recommend you follow the meal plans and exercise remedies in that book. That's personally what I turn to when I have clients who are struggling with weight, and all the other things are lining up, and I believe that they're not lying to me about it, and that way we're able to get them in order. So it's a long-winded answer to your question, Alvin, but it was a damn good one, and there's a lot of reasons why people plateau, and it's completely different for different individuals. So I hope that was, while it was long, it was a good answer for that. So guys, every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we're going to be coming at you with a new episode of the Millennial Weight Loss Podcast. We're going to go over all different things. We're going to talk about mindset, social situations, how to eat at restaurants. We didn't do one of those this week. We did Five Guys so far, and Chipotle. We'll come at you with another one next week. I just thought, you know, I got the interview request from Tyson. It was a pretty quick thing we put together, but I thought it was important enough to share with you that we forewent that this week. The way we'll come back at you with that next week. Also, to follow the show, very simple. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to my channel, hit the notification bell, and you'll be notified every time we upload a video again, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. You're going to look out for them unless it's a holiday week like this week, or we did Tuesday through Thursday instead. Number two, just join my Facebook group. All you got to do, type in the search bar, Millennial Weight Loss Podcast, see my beautiful mug, ask to join, that's it. Then lastly, if you're an audio person, just subscribe and leave a review to my podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. I'd love to hear from you. what your thoughts are on the show, good, bad, and different. I love to hear from you. And that's it, guys. For that, I'm Pete Weintraub, permanent weight loss specialist. Thanks so much for listening or watching. I'll be coming back at you on Monday with another episode of the Millennial Weight Loss Podcast. Until then, have a great rest of the week, everyone. Chat then.